Hello and welcome to this episode of Nucleus Wealth and Power, where I go looking for what the good life is and how finance can support and empower us in achieving that. I'd like to start the show in the spirit of reconciliation and acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to the land, sea and community. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. In today's episode, we're going to take another look at life purpose and how to find it. To do this, I'm fortunate to be joined by the creators of the Purpose Project, Suraj Pabari and Ari Yagane, and friends of Nucleus Wealth, Eloise Klassen and Alex Langley. So to give you a bit of idea of each of them, let me quickly run you through their bios. Suraj Pabari is an ex-Googler and entrepreneur with a decade of experience in marketing and data science. He was also a lead facilitator and presenter of the Life Design Program at Google, having presented this course to over 200 individuals. He has a passion for curriculum development and public speaking and runs independent training programs for business professionals. Suraj, welcome to the show.
Hey, really excited to be here.
Ari Yagane is a social entrepreneur and mental health advocate with a background in business and data science. He's passionate about youth mental health speaking with BETA in high schools across Australia. Ari is also a trained telephone crisis supporter with Lifeline Australia, with accreditations in counselling and a Bachelor in Commerce and Actuarial Studies. Ari, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be here.
Alex, if you can give us a wave, Alex, is a first year medical student at Melbourne University and a recent convert to bass playing. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And last but not least, we've got Eloise Klassen. She's also a first year student studying business and chemistry at RMIT. She's climbing through the ranks in her cheer squad and also holding down two part-time jobs. Welcome, Eloise.
Thank you.
Alrighty, so a quick reminder before we get started, please keep in mind that any advice discussed in today's show is general in nature and doesn't relate to personal circumstances. But if you would like to discuss anything with us, you can get in touch with us on 1300 623 863. And if you haven't already, subscribe and click the notification bell to be notified when we go live or have a new webinar to watch. Or follow us on your preferred podcast platform. And if you like what you hear, give us a click on the like, please. All right, guys. So I'm actually going to hand the reins over to you for this podcast and probably just be a spectator. But before I do that, can I just ask you a couple of questions? Can you tell us and our listeners about the Purpose Project that you've started?
I'm happy to start. So Suraj and I started the Purpose Project last year during COVID, and the key question we asked ourselves is, what is the most important thing we can work on with our time? And both of us collectively came to the conclusion that education is probably the most important thing anyone can work on. And we put our brains together and said, what is the most important thing we can work on in education? And we noticed the gap in the market where currently in K-12 education, there's only about 40 hours of compulsory careers education out of a total of 11,000 hours. Now, for those who are any good at math, if you divide 40 by 11,000 hours, you get a very, very small number. And that to us didn't make any sense, that we go to school and we spend all this time in K-12 and no one really asks us what we want to do with our lives. We learn a lot about Shakespeare, learn a lot about essay writing and algebra, but no one really questions what's important to us. And what is the role of money? What is the role of purpose? And really some of the most fundamental questions of life. And that's really why we started the Purpose Project. And we've been really lucky in the last year to work with a number of great schools all across Sydney and to also run programs online with students from all walks of life. And we're definitely grateful for that experience so far.
Okay, that's fantastic, because I couldn't agree with you more. I was talking to Alex and Ella before we joined the chat today, and just was saying how little I knew about purpose and career and that sort of thing from high school. And you know, you have to make some pretty big decisions about uni and the next steps, which can put you on certain paths. So honestly, guys, thanks so much for going out and doing that. So today you're going to give us a bit of a snippet, a brief run through of some of the programs that you would run through when you're doing that work. Is that right?
We can definitely do that. Yes, absolutely.
That would be brilliant. Okay, so then the last question before I hand over to you, how would you define purpose? Is this something that you think about, or is it just actually that it's so obviously defined in the dictionary that we don't need to discuss it? It could be a stupid question.
I can take this one, Ari. So it's interesting because we actually go through that in the actual program itself. Okay. Because when we originally think of the word purpose, we think of some higher level spiritual word, which is really far from achievable, I guess. But what we try and do is break it down into a way that the students can understand. And we have two parts to purpose. The first part being something which is personally meaningful. So by that, what we mean is understanding your values. And there's so many different ways of doing that and making sure your job aligns with your values. So a simple example would be if you're vegan and you really believe in compassion towards animals, you don't necessarily want to be working in McDonald's as an example. Or for example, one of the experiences I had is I was actually doing a lot of coding in part of my career, and I realized that I love connection. I love being around people. And I found the job really difficult and really hard and unmotivated to go to work. So that's kind of the first part, is personally meaningful. And the second part is just having a contribution to others. And sometimes when we think of that, we think of, oh, we've all got to start a not-for-profit or start a charity or end global poverty. We don't necessarily mean that. I think what we're really focusing on here is just, even if, for example, you're selling something, and by selling something, you're providing value to someone else. That would be an example of contributing to others. Or I did a lot of marketing and helping small businesses grow. Again, we're contributing to others. So if you have those two aspects, that's what we believe defines a purposeful life.
Thank you. Okay, well, I hand it over to you guys to, I guess, start having a chat with Eloise and Alex.
Yeah, I'd be really curious. Alex, I think you mentioned you're in first year medicine. What interested you about medicine? What made you choose that degree?
I just sort of was exposed to it, I guess, at a younger age. My dad's in the healthcare sector, so I don't know. I sort of grew up around it. He had all these medical textbooks lying around that, you know, I'd sometimes have a look in and didn't understand any part of it. But it's kind of corny, but we used to play this game where I'd be like, I'd point at like a bone or a muscle. I'd be like, what's that muscle, Dad? And then he'd tell me and I'd be like, oh, wow, you're so impressive that you know that. And I don't know, it just latched on and I'm just interested in it. So to me, it seems like that's a career pathway I would want to go down. Not specifically like doctor of medicine, I guess, but just anything in that field. It just seems right to me.
And that's so one thing you brought up was really interesting, because we see this a lot over and over again with students in high schools, is the influence of parents on our decision making. And there's nothing wrong here. It's just identifying where some of our core values come from and our definition for what's important to us and what we should do for our careers. So I guess from your perspective, it sounds like, Alex, that you are being influenced by your parents, but in a way that's okay because you actually enjoy, you know, what you're doing.
I suppose I was fortunate there, yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And do you feel do you feel that what you're studying now is sort of relevant and interesting and keeps you excited, or how are you finding uni, I guess, is the question.
At the moment, it's sort of detached from, I guess, what I'm mainly interested in, being human sort of medicine and that sort of stuff. It's just general sort of overall biology, that sort of thing. So at the moment, I don't know, it's sort of so-so, but I'm hoping that as the years go on, it'll get progressively more into what I would like to do. And I mean, there's always what you want to major in and all your electives and that, so I can sort of tailor it to what I'd like. But I don't know. I don't really think that answered the question, but, you know.
I think it did.
And Ari, can I jump in here? Mm. A question I had really is, and we generally start our programs with this because it's always interesting to know, is what's really good is you seem to have found something you're interested in and you seem to be pursuing that. But if you look at the word success to you, like, what does that actually mean? So let's say in 5 years or 1 year or even now, what will successful life look like?
It's probably cliche, but just be happy, pretty much. it's not really, money's never really been like the end goal for me. I'd like to be comfortable, obviously. If I had kids, I'd like to send them to, you know, school that I think would be good for them, that sort of thing. But, you know, extravagant house and that sort of thing, nah, not interested. I just want to do well by other people and do well by myself, I guess. I don't know. It's probably a bit corny, but that's what I would like to do.
No, own that. It's beautiful. Yeah. Own it.
That's very wise. I love hearing that. And I'd be curious, Ella, what would that look like for you? Like, what would success look like for you?
I think relatively similar thing. I think I work a lot now. Like as Shelley said, I do have two jobs at the moment. I think at least in 10 years, I'd like to be in the position where I'm not working all the time and I can just have a bit of a chill out. Yeah, I think I would find a lot of success in, and I'd be really satisfied with myself if I was, you know, completed my uni degree and I found a good job that, you know, encompasses my degree. And yeah, just being happy as well, I think, which I think I would get from just, you know, working and being able to have time to hang out with friends and just be by myself as well.
I think, Elena, you touched on a really important point there. Because I think one thing we often talk through is what are our values and understanding what our values are. And you talk through the fact that your friends are really important. And if you were to list your values, I assume your friends would be somewhere towards the top based on what you've just said. What one exercise we usually use to try and figure out what our values are is linked to what you're saying. It's how you spend your energy. So, for example, for me, when I'm at work, I spend a lot of time reading, right? And if you look at the side of my desk, I have a lot of books. So for me, one of my values would be personal growth. It would be learning. And any spare time I have, I try and do that. But what would be the equivalent for you, Elena?
Ella, I think.
Oh, me? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've spent a lot of time trying to read as well now because I think I've been spending a lot of time just going on my phone and not really doing anything. And especially now that there's uni break, I've been trying to learn heaps as well because I think I'm doing a double degree, so I'm getting a lot of, you know, knowledge from like both business and chemistry, which are pretty different. But yeah, I would say I try and spend a lot of my time just hanging with friends or, you know, reading or watching TV, hanging with my family, just, you know, trying to maximize my time to, you know, do what I love, I guess. I don't know if that answered the question.
It definitely did. Yeah, Alex, same question to you. What do you spend your time and energy doing? Let's say you had a free weekend, how would you spend that?
Oh, I don't know, probably doing things that are not the most productive use of my time. I mean, you know, I like playing bass, I guess. That's something that I've been super into recently. So I just sort of try and do things that I'm interested in. And if that happens to be, you gaming. Know, productive gaming, unfortunately, that takes up a lot of my time. But
you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Well, I kind of do a little bit.
I don't, guys. If you like it, if it brings you joy.
I mean, last year, I spent a lot of time trying to learn, like, the financial market and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. just because I was interested in it, not really because I thought it would do me a lot of good. Just, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm glad that I did it because I think it will do me some good, but I mainly just do things that I think I'd like, and if that happens to line up with things that are good for me, then that's usually the best of both worlds.
And I get a question for Alex. Would you, in this current form, in where you are now in your life, because first year uni, you found something that you're really interested in and mm-hmm. you had some exposure from your parents. If someone on the street were to stop you and ask you what your purpose was, how would you answer them?
Oh,
strange question for a random stranger to ask you.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's my purpose at the moment, or what I would like my purpose to be?
Sure, yeah, you can answer both. That's a good way to look at it.
I mean, I'd hope my purpose in the moment is getting me to somewhere where I think that I can do good for other people and I can be in a position to live a good life that I think I would enjoy. And you know, my final purpose I'd love to get to would be to be in a position where I think I can contribute well to other people, the community, and do something I'd love and get a lot of enjoyment out of that. That would be perfect for me. I think that would be my life's purpose, yeah.
That's very articulate. I can't guess your age, but I assume, you know, your early 20s.
I'm 18.
You're 18. That's fantastic. I can't even imagine having such a clear definition at age 18. Because we ask that question a lot, obviously, at the Purpose Project. And empirically, it's something like one in two people at that age have absolutely no idea. Yeah. And when I say no idea, like in the questionnaire, they'll tick no idea in quotations.
Oh, geez.
And then the other 50%, it's usually split off hand-me-down purposes or values from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people we find is about 20 to 25% of people are very lucky in the sense that they're very confident on a path. And that is the path they eventually end up in. And that's a path that they become ultimately quite fulfilled in. But the unfortunate truth is in Australia, Gallup does this survey every 2-3 years to measure contentment with careers. And we find that in that Gallup, unfortunately, the trend there is that our engagement or our contentment with work is not necessarily improving. So currently, it's 71% of Australians say that they're actually disengaged in their jobs. And I think out of that, it's something like 25% are highly disengaged from their jobs. So it's very lucky that kind of at age 18, it sounds like you're on a path where you can see yourself working in this field and contributing to others. So that's really great. But equally, I'd love to ask you, Ella, what would that, if that same stranger were to pass you in the street and ask you this question of what is your purpose, how would you answer that?
Well, I think I'm kind of the opposite of the spectrum where I'm kind of that person who doesn't really know. I would say, now that Alex has said his, I think similar things, like I want to be able to be in a place where my purpose is to make my life better, I guess, and helping other people make their lives better. But, you know, I mean, I'm 18 as well, but I really don't have a clue what I want to do in the future. I'm just kind of winging it at the moment and hoping that it'll go well. So I'm hoping I'm actually going to gain a lot, maybe figure out my purpose today.
Absolutely. We have half an hour left. I'm sure we'll get there.
Can we dig in a little bit more, Eleanor, just around your, Ella, can we dig in a little bit more just around, obviously, we've kind of talked a little bit about the fact that you spend a lot of time with friends. And it sounds like connection. So when you are looking for something, you want to find something where there is that kind of connection, it sounds like, because that is one of your big values. But if you look around, I mean, one of the other exercises we do, we say, like, looking at your bedroom or looking at your living room or looking at a place where you spend a lot of time. What do you see there? Like, what types of things are there? So as I mentioned, I have a couple of trophies on my desk. I have books, which tells me a bit about my values. So what's a similar type of thing, question for you?
So, like, what's in my, like, space that I spend a lot of time? Definitely a big mess. I have a really big bookshelf in my room. I'm very proud of it. It looks really cool. I probably have a lot of clothes and a lot of just paper and books and workbooks. Like, I keep most of my workbooks from the past, like, 4 years of school or something, all in a big box that I probably won't look at. But, yeah, so I think I have a lot of clutter, I guess.
It might be, we're kind of joking about trying to figure it out in the next half an hour, by the way, because we run these workshops and it takes people, you know, full days or 2 days to even uncover some of the, you know, surface level values and really start to dig into their personalities. But I guess one thing that can be reassuring, and it was definitely reassuring for me, so maybe I'll share a little bit about my own personal story. So I was at age 18, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. And I guess similar to Alex, my parents had a particular view of where my career should go. And that was geared towards sort of business. Because coming from a migrant background, you know, the value of education, the value of money is sort of handed down to you from a young age to you know, you want to do well as a guy, you want to provide for the family. There's that sort of, those sort of structures are in place. So I went into business and I studied for 4 years, a degree which, do you guys remember the booklets that you used to scroll through for university? And you had all the courses and then the career paths. And then it also has this little column for how much you can expect to earn. Yeah, do you guys still have that?
It's all online. Yeah, you just Google.
Oh, old am I? Holy man. I feel like I put away my walking stick now. So that I used to go through that and go, wow, I picked actuarial studies and applied finance, which is actually the highest paying grad job outside of medicine. And I was like, this is for me. This is 100% what I'm going to pursue. And I studied it for 4 years and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. But I was just determined, you know, I was like, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to get a job. And funnily enough, I got a job I got a job straight out of uni in a grad role in a major bank, which I'm not going to mention, in the wealth department of a major bank. And it didn't take more than 6 weeks for me to walk into my manager's office and quit on the spot out of this 18-month program that everyone was trying to get into so desperately. But for me, I realized, like, nothing is worth more than my own happiness and my own fulfillment. And just because I'm earning money doesn't mean anything. Like, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be happy and I'm going to do this career for the rest of my life. So I guess I tell that story to demonstrate that it's totally okay to not know what you want to do at that age. And actually, one of the things that we embed in our curriculum is this idea of having a resilience mindset and just being really open and flexible, because we can't predict the future. You know, when I was studying, I had no idea what the future was going to hold. And the Federation of Young Australians does this amazing research piece every 3 to 5 years. And the latest paper suggests that on average, young people in Australia aged 15 to 18 are going to have 5 different careers over their lifetime and 17 different jobs. So when you think about that, you know, each one of us in this room is going to have 5 different careers. It just kind of reduces that pressure, the question that I asked you guys earlier, which is, what was your purpose? Because if you think you have a singular purpose, I'm sorry to say, but the world doesn't work like that. You know, it's almost like this onion, and each layer you take off, you find out there's another layer. And for you to get to the core, I mean, there might not be a core. And really, we like to emphasize this message of not having so much pressure on a single purpose or single statement that this is the thing I'm going to pursue for the rest of my life, because we just don't know what's going to happen. And a more useful mindset or frame of mindset to have is to say, well, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but right now I'm really interested in XYZ and I'm going to pursue that. Similar to what Alex is saying, like, that's what he's pursuing right now. But, you know, if we check in with Alex in 30 years time, who knows what industry he's going to be in? And it's really hard to predict that. So I hope that kind of puts some of your, I guess, angst or anxiety about the future away, because it's perfectly okay to not know what you want to do. And both Suraj and I have definitely found ourselves in those positions.
I have a question there. So what advice do you give, like, maybe practical advice to people who don't know what their purpose is? What does Ella walk out of the room and do today to say, at least I'm on my journey?
So I can take this one, Ari. I think we've touched upon bits of the framework. As Ari mentioned, it's difficult to go through the whole thing in the hour or half an hour that we have. But I think values is really important in getting to the root of those. So understanding things like your role models, or whether it's the stuff in your room and what that tells you about what's important to you. Understanding your strengths. But I think one bit we haven't yet touched upon is the kind of the contribution bit. Like, how do we contribute to others? And often, once we've got our values, we ask the students, like, what do people currently thank them for? So, I mean, so as an example, for me, that would be a lot of the time, when people want advice, people would come to me and I'd be able to listen. And there would be that people would thank me just for listening and not necessarily giving advice. So that would be one thing that people thank me for. It's kind of listening. It's being, I guess, someone who can actually listen without giving advice. But understanding what people currently thank you for, and how you could use that in a potential future life path would be one way we kind of think about the contribution bit. Ari, is there anything you want to add? I think you had a couple of good examples from there as well.
Yeah, for sure. I guess one thing you could take away from this conversation, Ella, is also what I said, so definitely understand yourself better. And there's a million different ways you could get to understand yourself. For me personally, I went and took a whole gap year off and I traveled by myself and I discovered in that year more about myself than I had in the previous 20 years. So that's one way people kind of get to know themselves a little bit deeper, and the quintessential quarter life crisis, as they call it. Or given COVID, that's not really possible. A lot of people like to read, a lot of people like to talk to other people about what they're interested in. We actually found for ourselves, and we can speak anecdotally to this and also empirically based on the evidence-based programs that we've reviewed, we find there's one technique that that has a very high success rate in helping people figure out what they want to do. And this is very simple, but don't be deceived by how simple this is. And the path there is twofold. So in the first instance, you are going out and essentially talking to people. We call this informational interviews. You're going out there and speaking to people that really inspire you, that you know you look up to. You go, wow, this is really interesting. I really like what this person's doing. And what you're looking to do there is not necessarily get a job or, you know, get into the good books. You're just looking to understand more about that person's motivations, what makes them tick, what was their purpose, what was their growing up experience. You're really trying to understand what is it that you admire about them. And that helps you identify some of the career paths that you could be interested in. Because if you have role models in your life right now, you could ask yourself, well, why do I look up to this person? And you could maybe uncover some values that you admire about them. That's sort of one key category. But the most important one and the biggest one that I've implemented in my life and has had amazing success is by going out there and simply experimenting. And what I mean by experimenting is by doing stuff yourself, experiencing stuff, setting up little challenges or little tasks for yourself. Look, I'll give you an example. As you saw in my bio, I'm really interested in psychology. I didn't study psychology, but I have an avid interest in understanding the mind and understanding philosophy and understanding how the science melds in with the brain. And because I didn't study it, I was always interested in studying it. So last year, I actually went out and reached out to 15 different psychologists, and I reached out to them and I said, hey, look, I'm really interested in psychology. I don't know where to start. Would you be able to guide me? And out of those 15, I was able to get interviews with 5 of them. So I actually spoke to 5 of them in person or over Zoom. And I was able to really ask them some really deep questions about, you know, what was the studying process like? What's the pay like? What are the hours like? What are the hard things about this role? What do you really enjoy about it? What's really difficult? And out of that experience, I was able to determine for myself, wow, this is an area clearly I have a lot of interest in. But when it comes to studying it, when it comes to some of the stats, when it comes to some of the hours that I have to put in, when it comes to 4 years of studies plus 2 years of internships, I just determined for myself, that's not really a path I want to pursue. So by going through that process, it took me about 4 hours to speak to these psychologists, but now I've saved myself 6 years of not having to pursue that path, because I was seriously going to go down the path of studying it. Now I can be confident that that's not the path for me. And that was sort of the conversation piece of actually talking to people. To be 100% sure, what I did next was I went and signed up for volunteering events in mental health, just to see what it feels like to be in that mode of helping people and then listening to people. And this involves speaking to a number of people I knew in mental health, and then trying to get experience. So one of the ways was to actually go and sign up for Lifeline, which is a suicide prevention hotline in Australia. And they actually offer you this 5-month curriculum for learning about mental health, which is fantastic, highly recommend for people who are into psychology. And then they give you, after the 5 months, they give you a chance to practice with real people, which I find incredible. And I got to do that process. I went through the curriculum, and then from the 5th month, I started actually taking calls from everyday Australians who are going through tough times. And in that, I just got so much more admiration and respect for psychologists and people in counseling, because it's such a difficult job. But I really got to see for myself and experience that whilst I respect this field and I respect everyone doing it, I just don't think it's for me. You know, it's in that moment, you can read about something, you can talk to someone, but when you're doing it yourself day to day, you really get to experience what it's like. And I just determined at that point that wasn't for me. And so I ended the experiment there. But hopefully that gives you some insights into some of the different ways you could both experiment by talking to people, or you can set up mini experiments and actually go out and do stuff and just put yourself in a situation where you're learning something new.
All right, sounds good.
Very cool.
Is it, when I say that, does anything come up for you, Ella, in terms of things that you've thought about or you want to do, but you know, you haven't got around to yet?
Yeah, well, I think I'm really interested in science, and I'm currently studying that at the moment. But I think a lot of the kind of what Alex was saying before, how he was saying that a lot of the stuff that he's really interested in isn't really like being taught at the moment, especially because I'm only finished my first semester, so a lot of it is like basic stuff where it's like I'd rather, you know, read about, oh, look how crazy this rocket is or something like that, you know? So I guess that actually has given me a lot to think about, especially just because I'm doing a double degree and it is an extra year of study and a lot more work. So I'm at the moment, I'm kind of thinking, oh, do I want to finish that double degree? Maybe I might just do science and then do business on, outside of my degree or something like that, or the opposite way around, but I'm kind of just trying to work it out. But that actually has given me a lot of insight though, because I think I have a lot of experience in business now, because I'm one of my part-time jobs I just walked away from just then is being like a receptionist for a business, and I think that's given me a lot of insight into the actual business world, and I think that is something that I really am enjoying doing, but I haven't really had that opportunity with science because it's a lot harder just to get an entry-level position if you don't like already have a degree. But yeah, I think that I'll definitely look into something like that for more just, you know, getting real world experience, you know, to actually see what, you know, doing science is actually like though.
And so just an interesting point on that, Ella, you were mentioning sometimes it's hard to get entry-level degrees, and it's funny because we talk about this a lot in some of our programs where the jobs want experience, jobs want people with experience, yet they're not willing to give you that experience. You're kind of stuck in this cycle, especially if you're just starting. But interestingly, and what we found from both of us actually having to hire people in the past is that a lot of jobs aren't necessarily on Indeed or on these job boards, and they come through these conversations. So what I've actually found sometimes is having these conversations, not with the intention of getting a job out of these conversations, but what tends to happen is the person will say, hey, if you are interested, I can show you around. We do actually have an opening. Maybe I can let you know. So by having these conversations, and let's say you find something you're interested in and you talk to 10 people and maybe one or two of them say, well, actually, it's funny that you should ask. There is actually an opportunity for an internship or something like that. So having those conversations, what we've both found, opens up doors, and it could be a good way to start getting that experience.
All right. Could I just ask a question a little bit about, I'm not sure if I'll articulate this right, but so a lot of what you've said about like finding a purpose is kind of in your career. How would you say, like, how does that like link to, I guess, your personal life, or how like linked are your purposes? And if they aren't that linked, how do you balance them?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I used to run the course at Google, it was actually called Life Design and not Career Design, because the same framework that we have actually is actually used to determine what your life's purpose is and how to design a life that you love, as opposed to just design a career that you love. And the reason we changed it is we felt that there would be a greater need in schools for more career design as opposed to life design, because their life is pretty much taken up with like extracurricular activities and things like that. But so interestingly, the same framework that we apply, understanding your values and trying to rank those, and then developing kind of prototype projects based on matching your values and your strengths and whatever other parts of your life make up you. That same framework applies to whether it's life design, whether it's career design, whether it's deciding what sports you want to try. It's a pretty widely applicable framework, but I think it all comes from just thinking about your values. And I know doing that in my life made a really big, really big difference.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. If I can add some color to that with my own personal example. So when I was going through this whole process of finding out what I want to do in my career, it actually did help me a lot figure out what I care about as a person as well. So I became quite clear in what my personal values are, and I can articulate that to you in order, from mental health being number one, then physical health, then connections, then contribution. So when I look at my life, I don't really distinguish between life and career. For me, I try and live every day according to those values and according to what feels genuine to me and what feels like, you know, Steve Jobs famously has this line where if today was your last day, would you change anything about it? Are you proud of everything you did today? Did you work on stuff that was important to you? And if he answers no multiple times in a row, then he would think about it and say, okay, I need to change something up. And I have a very similar practice where I write down kind of how my day went, the stuff I'm grateful for, but also write down, you know, did I live according to my own values? Because that's probably the most important thing. We find when people are out of alignment to what they feel is important, that's when you start to get unfulfillment. That's where you start to live by other people's expectations of you. And that's the time that I felt personally the most unhappy, is when I was living a life that wasn't truly authentic to me. It was just it's just what I thought other people wanted me to do. And we get this a lot in school, especially in private schools, or especially in selective schools, where a lot of kids have expectations from other people on them. And they might just want to, you know, a lot of kids just want to, like, for example, raise a family. And that's not a career path. You know, that's, you can't put that in a little neat box. But it's really difficult to have that view these days. I mean, if you're growing up as especially, you know, women growing up in school, uni, it's very rare for someone to say, oh, I want to just, my career path is to raise a family. You don't hear that. You just don't hear that. And the reason you don't hear that is because societal norms have shifted away from that. And one of the things that we want to do is just bring that back to the conversation. It's like, who says, you know, you can do whatever you want. If that's your path, if you've chosen a path of raising a family and raising beautiful children, then you should be allowed to do that. You shouldn't have the expectation on you that you should go and do these, all the other things. So I hope that answers your question in a little bit more color. So to summarize both of our answers, it's really to both the work view, the career view, and the life view, life purpose, all boils down to ultimately what is important to you.
Yeah, excellent. Guys, I'm conscious that we're getting towards the end of our time, and I wonder if that's actually a really beautiful place to just stop. What do you think? Mm. Yeah? Okay. Well, thank you so much once again for coming on the show. It has been just fantastic to watch it. I think, like, the, you know, your willingness to share from your histories and the insights that you've gathered along your careers and the work that you've done with all of us. I know it's meant a lot to me because I associate a lot with you and your journey of not really knowing. And I think I'm probably still on my journey in that respect. So Ella, don't worry. It's okay to not know. But yeah, I think, you know, what you shared has been fantastic, and I really, you know, I got something out of it. I hope a lot of the listeners did as well. So thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
So, hey guys, before we finish up, can you let us know how people can get in touch with you, any of the listeners, if they want to, or how they can follow your work?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the easiest ways is just to follow us on Facebook. So we're on The Purpose Project on Facebook, or on Instagram at Purpose Project AU. And if you're a teacher or a school interested in potentially participating, getting your students to participate in one of our programs, just visit thepurposeproject.com.au.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so before I say goodbye, oh, of course, actually, sorry, Ella and Alex, thank you to you two as well. You guys were really honest, and I think a part of the reason why it was a really successful conversation, I think a lot of people get something out of it. So, yeah, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
I got a lot out of it as well, so thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, too.
Thank you, Ella, Alex. Appreciate your time as well.
Okay, so before I say goodbye to the listeners for today, if you have any feedback for me about this episode or any ideas for future episodes, please let me know in the YouTube comments, or you can send us an email at contact@nucleuswealth.com. Thanks to my producer, Jaden Stent, for his work today, bringing this all together. It was definitely a bit of a technological challenge, and hopefully we got there. And finally, if you know someone who you think would get something out of today's episode, let them know about it, share with friends or colleagues, and help our show grow. So thanks again for myself and the team for tuning in, and I look forward to catching you on the next one.